Nicely. It makes your heart feel good, doesn't it? You come into God's house, you. I know each of you, you come from different directions. You have so many things going on within your life, so many challenges, so many responsibilities that you're trying to do the best you can. And you come into God's house, and sometimes your mind is almost spinning because of the pace of lives that we live. And you come into God's house. And all of a sudden, there's a hymn that's played that just simply touches your heart and warms it. Allows you to know without a shadow of a doubt that there is a God who lives within me. And that same God lives within you. And the peace that I find through God is the purest peace that has ever been. I was so moved by the prayer request today and people that are just willing to speak out and say, touch this individual. God, just touch this individual. Whether it's a wife, whether it's a relative, a co-worker. I remember many, many years ago I heard a man say one time, he said, he and his wife were at home and they got a phone call. And it was their son, Scott, who had called, and he just wanted to let him know that he was running late. So after the gentleman hung up the phone, he turned to his wife and he says, there's nothing to worry about, dear. It's just a delay. It's just a delay. And after he spoke those words to her, God spoke to him in his heart and he said, you know, so many times in our prayer requests, we're so anxious. We have so many things and truly our hearts are moved and we want God to move in our pace and our time. But God, through His wisdom, He moves at His own time and He moves at His own pace. But He always answers. And sometimes we need to realize there is nothing to worry about. There is simply a delay. And it applies to us in our lives and the challenges that we face. And I want to thank you again for the willingness to just simply allow God to hear your request. He knew it before you even opened your mouth. But He tells us within His Word to share one another our burdens so that we have that opportunity to pray with you, with you, with you. In the book of 2 Peter, I'm going to speak to you this morning for just a few moments. And I'm going to talk about how we go through this process of growth in our Christian walk. The writer here, the apostle, he was very wise in the words that he chose. We're going to read those this morning. I'm going to read quite a few scriptures, so you bear with me. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the first chapter in the book of 2 Peter. It reads, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In the third verse I want to concentrate on, as His divine power has given to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue. That third verse we're going to go back to because it reads, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The fourth, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. In the fifth verse, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be neglect to remind you always of these things through you and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that you have seek many things in your life. There are many things you've wondered about. There are many things that challenge, many questions we have. But I believe that the wisdom of any individual, at some time they turn to God. This scripture here is written to the believer. It begins in that first verse, Simon Peter, to those who have obtained the like precious faith. He is talking here to believers. There were many times the apostles, they spoke to those who didn't believe. They talked about the wondrous resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on the third day. And they simply testified about what they had seen, and that the Holy Spirit was now living within them. But this bit of scripture here is written to the believers. And it is written in a way to encourage you to grow in your faith. There are many folks that I know that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But there are also many people that simply struggle with their living, their day-to-day living. They're not living that abundant life that it speaks about in the Scripture. And I believe it is our challenge to better find out about this process of maturing in Him. And I love the way the writer here, he gives you eight words in this Scripture. He talks about faith, talks about virtue, talks about knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and he finishes on the most important thing, and that is love. He has planted a seed in you when you simply accept Him to make a decision for Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Is the most simplest decision that you will make in your life. But is the one that changes everything. Because of that, he places within you this seed. And this seed that He places within you, it is whole. Now, I don't know how much you know about seeds. Had a great conversation with my father one time about his disdain for the squirrels around the house. I says, "What's the problem, Pop?" He says, "You know, I've learned something about those squirrels." And he would have the habit of going out and feeding his pets. His pets, they run on four legs. They come down out of the woods towards nightfall. they have a deer feeder up there, and he would take corn and he'd place it in this can. No, he did not harvest any of those. I don't want you to think bad or send any nasty letters. But he said, you know, he said, after I placed that corn, and for those of you who have fed any animals like that, the deer, they eat that corn. But the squirrels are kind of unique, because what they do is they take that old kernel of dried corn and they don't eat it all. Anybody ever seen a squirrel when he eats a little kernel of dried corn? What does he do? Kind of hollows it out there. Gets the little good part inside, and what? Leaves a mess for you to clean up. So Pop was not so happy. He says, I really don't mind them eating the corn if they'd simply eat the whole thing. You'll notice my parents and I have wonderful, meaningful conversations through the years. Simple things that you simply learn from. But I want to tell you, here in this seed that I'm talking about, it is whole. It is a seed that has been placed in you. And it is a seed that, if you will allow it, it will grow into something beautiful. Something kind, something warm. And you will not be the individual with the struggles that you have had. Oh, circumstances will come against you. There'll be things that you will have to deal with. But you will find that that seed, as it starts to grow inside of you, that seed of faith and that seed of knowledge and that seed of virtue and that seed of perseverance and most of all, that seed of love, as it grows inside you, that promise that God has given you, you will be able to live an overcoming life. I believe it. Earlier in the week, on Wednesday, I'd asked a couple to do a task here at church. And I want you to, very soon, I'm going to get you to turn around and look at the back of the church. You're going to look up. You're going to see a little sign, and you're going to say, aw. Now, let's practice the aw part first. Follow me. Say, aw, aw, aw. Okay, now, don't overdo it. What I want you to do, if you look to the back, and you'll see over top of the doorway, you'll see that little sign. Can anybody read that and tell me what it says? Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Now that was, how soon you forget the instructions you've been given. Good. I asked Rick, I said, Rick, this, and I told him a story. The couple had come, and I was kind enough to be asked to, as they renewed their vows for 25 years. And that is their gift to the church. And we want it displayed. And so we wanted a guy that was qualified, that was trained, that was tall enough. And as they came in on Wednesday and they're placing this out, I'm looking to the back and here's Rick, and he's standing on a basket, right? And it reminded me of a story. So if you don't like this story, you know who to come blame. He's sitting right here in the second pew, right on the end. I said, what is that you're standing on? He said, well, when we used to go down to the manholes, if I get this right, we used to have these big wooden things we'd carry around. All of a sudden, we found these little baskets, and these little baskets are a lot lighter and easier to carry around. He didn't tell me where the basket came from. I didn't want to know. But he put it into good use, because he used that to stand on and place this. There was a grandfather who would sit by the table every morning and read his Bible. And one day the grandson came to him and he says, Pawpaw, he says, He says, I don't understand. He says, what don't you understand, son? He says, well, he said, I try to read my Bible and it's hard. And he says, also, he says, when I get to the point where I understand something, it looks like as soon as I close it, I forget it. So I really don't know why you read the Bible. And the grandfather, and this is back in those good old days, as he stood to respond to him, he picked up the coal basket. Anybody know what a coal basket is over there? Claude, you're dating yourself, young man. You're dating yourself. Simply a basket that was used where you carried in coal and you put that coal where? In the stove. He picked up the coal basket and he took the last few pieces of coal and he tossed them to the son. He says, well, he says, I want you to do me a favor. And his grandson always wanting to do the best he could for his grandfather. He says, I want you to take this down to the creek and get me a basket of water. Grandson says, all right. So he takes off. He goes down to the creek. He dips that basket into the creek and he heads back to the house. And as you realize, by the time he gets back, every drop is gone. He says, grandfather, this won't work. Grandfather says, you'll just have to run a little faster. Okay. Off he goes down to the creek. He dips again and he brings it back in. And he gets to his grandfather. He says, I'm sorry, but once again, this basket is empty. He says, no. He says, you're just going to have to try a little harder. You're going to have to run a little faster. I know that you can do it. Grandson goes one more time, and just as fast as he can, he dips that basket in and runs, his little legs going as fast and all. And he gets to his grandfather, he says, I am sorry. He says, sorry. He says, let me go get you a bucket. And the grandfather says, no, I want a basket of water, not a bucket. And he says, well, you know what? This is just foolish. I don't understand. He says, well, look at the basket. So he took that basket up and he looked inside. And all of a sudden, he noticed that this basket had been so blackened by the soot, carrying around this coal all this time, it had been washed clean. And the grandfather said to the little boy, he said, now you see, son, this is like reading the Bible. You may not think that it's doing any good. You may not understand. But this Bible will cleanse you from the inside out if you will simply dedicate yourself to reading the words that you find in this great book. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. The things that I read within this book, as they are applied in my life, they start to cleanse me from the inside out. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we have gathered in your house today. We have simply shared our love that you have given us, one with another. We've sung songs about the Master. God, we heard a great rendition of Goodbye, World, Goodbye. But we've also heard those songs that challenge us, those ones that say, I surrender all. Now, Heavenly Father, allow us to be willing to be led by you. Allow us to be willing to open our Bibles to better understand how you are working on each and every one of us. And God, if there be one under the sound of my voice that simply doesn't understand, doesn't know this person, Jesus, let them be willing to ask the questions that matter. Heavenly Father, we once again lift up each one of the prayer requests, remembering those veterans, our country, our family members, our co-workers, and those we come into contact with every day. Give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this building, and allow us to carry the joy of the Lord with us wherever we go. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus and all God.